Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the second part of our interview with Tom Arts, who is founder and managing director of Nutrition Business Advisors. We discuss ways to improve the health of a population, the potential benefits and side effects of GLP-1s, resources on brain health, and, of course, mushrooms. I was also curious, you mentioned about the soil and about 15% of the population. Let's say the president of any country was to appoint you Secretary of Nutrition for the whole country. What are some of the key things you would do to improve the health of a population, of a whole country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get political here, but, you know, actually, we're closer now today to actually answering that question with somebody that's actually in that position. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the head of Human Health and Services, the head of HHS. And, you know, he believes in some of the same things I believe in. I don't think I have a direct bat phone to him, but, you know, we are starting to influence some of the things that, you know, he's already brought to the table and he's behind. If I was in his position, if I was the head of, if there was such an office, I would say that I think that, the general thing is to take less to, I would do things that would, you know, that would improve people's health by like stopping certain things that get into people's bodies. Right. So I'm a big believer that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we eat out of artificial dyes and all that stuff. That's bad. I would do something that would, you know, put a tax on, I mean, that's crazy to say, but I would say that I would put a big campaign out about sugar. I mean, the sugar lobbies, like, you know, they're just entrenched in the, you know, in the food system. And I don't have anything against anybody that sells sugar per se, because they're just trying to make a living. But I would say that sugar is one of the worst things you could probably put in your body. You know, it's, not good if you're, if, you know, I'm not saying it causes cancer, but if you have like inflammation or you have a cold or you are not feeling well, sugar just, you know, inflames all that stuff. It's inflammatory. So I would try to at least get the message out that, you know, less sugar is more, because you can find sugar in everything. Yeah. And then as far as like requiring things in the system for nutrition, I mean, I think, again, the basics, you know, I don't know what we would put in this, in the water or in the, you know, in years and years and years ago in the 20s and 30s, there was a goiter belt in the center of the country because we didn't have enough iodine. And so, you know, have you heard the term iodized salt, right? Everything, all salt is iodized, right? So they realized that if they put a little bit of iodine in salt and got it to people, there would be less goiters. And that's exactly what happened. So there might be some things I would consider that where the science was really, really solid. Try to get it into the system so that people didn't have to like go buy supplements, that they could actually get enough vitamin D in their, you know, foods, in their normal food system. Or, you know, vitamin C also is another one that I didn't mention earlier. That's very, very, very important. And so is there a way to get those basic things in there? One I'm very, very high on lately is choline for kids. I have a 12-year-old son, and, I believe that there's two things that will help his brain as he grows. One is DHA, that's from fish oil, and the other one is choline. And I think those two things, I think choline should be in, you know, my gosh, it should be in, you know, all the formulas. Maybe it's in some of the formulas, but after baby formula, you need choline and you need DHA, particularly DHA, and we just don't get enough. So those are things that I would do. I put DHA and all the baby formulas, and then I would have DHA as part of the diet in school instead of all the crap that they eat.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Thank you. I have a related question. I heard the podcast you did with CaloCurb.
Oh, yeah.
In New Zealand. And it was a fascinating podcast, and I bought it online, and I'm starting to try it now myself. But, you know, I was thinking about what you said in that podcast and how, you know, why are we even having this conversation about GLP-1 in the first place if the industry, like our own bodies, you know, set points or satiety points weren't being pushed so far out by sugar in the first place? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just wondering your thoughts on that. Like, as a society, how do we control this where, you know, as you said, they got to make some money, but then there's diabetes, there's all these complications in the healthcare system. And it's like, not even factored in. So yeah, I'm just wondering on your thoughts on that, on the fact that we even have to have these conversations about GLP-1s in the first place shows us something deeper going on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions that you just threw in that there that I'll try to break apart. But no, I mean, first of all, I'm not a disbeliever in GLP-1s. Actually, I've taken them myself. I think there's going to be more and more science that shows that even microdosing of some of the GLP-1 drugs is going to be probably helpful to people. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's got a bit different metabolism. Everybody's different. Everybody's in N-of-1. Some people do have a hard time. I know several people that they eat well, they do everything right, they still have, they're still overweight. And so if GLP-1s can kind of trigger something in their brain to stop the eating, and they can get a hold of that, then I think it's good. Where I think it's bad is when people start to overuse these drugs, and they start to take GLP-1 because they want to lose 7 pounds, and then they don't realize when they stop eating, they're stopping getting nutrients as well, and then there's also some muscle wasting. They say that you can see somebody's face if they've taken GLP-1 because they lose muscle mass. Muscle mass. That's another nutrient I would put in the water where everybody is like things to build muscle mass as we get older. We lose 1% every year when we turn 40. You are losing 1%. I'm losing 1%. So how do we actually increase that? And so GLP-1s unfortunately accelerate that. So you need to compensate for it with nutrition. Question. I think that we always like a pill, one pill for an answer. And I think we have that in GLP-1. It's going to be very successful, but I still think we haven't seen the unintended consequences of what's going to happen with too many people taking that product too much when they don't really need it. And they're not they're forgetting about the nutrition that they need around that.
I was also wondering, is there any book you've come across recently, or TV show or something that really struck you that you think, everyone in the audience should check out?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's so many books on nutrition, right? One of the books I read recently that really I liked a lot. I'm fascinated on brain health, and I think Alzheimer's and dementia are something that's going to impact everybody, and it impacted my family. So I read a book by Dale Bredesen called The End of Alzheimer's, which he kind of regretted he wrote that title because it's a little bit extreme. But he did a whole thing in there about a program you can do to keep your brain healthy. Another one around brain health that I love is Dr. Amen's book. He's got 25 books, but he's got one called, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. But he's also written books on memory that I think are really, really powerful. Some of his books are I mean, he writes about a lot of the same things, but I think some of his books about brain health are really, really powerful. I think if you don't have brain health, you're kind of screwed at the end of the day.
And then my last question is about Sempera Organics and fungi. I'm just curious, how did you connect with Sempera Organics, and then what are some of the exciting possibilities that you see for fungi to help the, people's health?
Yeah, I just heard a great lecture by Paul Stamets, who's a good friend, and he talked about the power of mycelium and the power of kind of mushrooms in general and how they could improve the world. He was talking about psychedelic mushrooms as well, like psilocybin. But in general, I mean, look, I got connected to Sempera because I met him through one of my colleagues, Nirmal Nair, and I think they're doing a great job making high quality mushrooms. I think mushrooms are going to be that's a trend that I predicted many years ago. I predicted a couple of things like fish oil enzymes before their time and mushrooms. About 10 years ago, we started talking about mushrooms and looking at this category. It wasn't very well known. And now we can see the power of mushrooms. I mean, they're all over the planet, and there's these incredible health properties in these 8 to 11 strains of mushrooms that we could rip through. But cordyceps and lion's mane and turkey tail and reishi and all these products that are coming out of the mushroom community, I think are going to be very powerful for people's health. I'm very excited about the work that Sempera is doing, and the mushroom industry in general, I think, is going to be a really powerful force in changing people's lives.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Tom Arts. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.